a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. And this, as we do almost every, we missed last month. Last month was the month that was not, but we are now back into the month that is. And that month is that monthly time of the month. We are having our time of month we call Planetary Influences, where we reach out into the stars and the skies. We see what the month till our next planetary influence looks like astrologically. And what does that mean to you? Think of it as a weather forecast. It's the weather forecast that are the energies. We do this with none other than Rob Stewart. I almost called you Robert, which meant you were in trouble. Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, innercenterastrology.com. And, you know, part of getting the most out of the weather forecast is to understand how that weather affects you. There could be storms going on in California, but if you're standing in New Hampshire, they probably don't affect you a whole lot, or they affect you a lot less. If those storms are really horrible in California, well, by the time they get here, they're a little bit of sprinkly rain. They don't affect you as much. If they create tornadoes, if you're living in Idaho, well, that makes a big difference. When it comes to astrology, it's all about knowing what your chart is. Who are you? Where are your houses? Where are these shady set of characters that hang out in the skies hiding in your own very chart? What houses do they hide in? What internal dialogues do they have with themselves and each other in those rooms, in those houses of your astrology chart? We even want to know if they're picking fights with any of the other planets. We know as the weather goes through that can make something get much more intense, or it might be mediated because, you know, you get somebody just kind of mellowing out in the third and somebody in the ninth is half asleep, and so they don't really care. So it might be a much bigger deal to your spouse or your child or your parent or your boss or your employee than it is to you, but you ain't going to know if you don't really understand your chart. So here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we always recommend and invite you to reach out to Rob at innercenterastrology.com and, you know, get your chart done. Let him kind of tell you where all this stuff is. And then you tune in here once a month and get a free update on like what's affecting your chart. I mean, let's talk about endless value, because, you know, Rob is stuck with me for eternity, because even if he dies, I'm a medium. So I'll bring him back and make him talk to you anyway. So you're all set. That being said, we are a live call-in show, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Call in and ask your questions, see where things are affecting you. Ask any kind of questions, really, that you would like Rob or I to answer on this show, as long as they're respectful. So, Rob, how did I do? Did I give you enough plugs in that intro?
Yeah. No, that was great. It's great to be back, and after that month off, where there was no astrology whatsoever, apparently, but we're back here to talk about it all and keep you updated.
Well, you know, it's kind of like last month we had a power shortage, so it wasn't that there wasn't astrological weather; it's that we did have no way to communicate it. So we're going to keep this in perspective. I don't want somebody to go, I was listening to the Dr. Kevin Show and the astrologer said that last month we had no astrology. How does that happen? Somebody will take you literally. You know, probably a Virgo or a Capricorn. Or even could be a Taurus. They're going to be like, well, that's what they said. I mean, isn't that what they meant? How does that work? Anything before we jump into the astrology, new or exciting on your end of the world? We haven't spoken for a couple of months. I'm going to assume that you missed me last month. And if you didn't lie, so, you know, make me feel good.
Yeah, well, no, it's always fun to chat about this stuff on the third Thursday of the month. And I did miss it. It's fun to chat about all this. But yeah, you know, for me, I'm just excited that summer is just beginning, and it's such a wonderful time of year. And, so I'm really enjoying that, you know, being outside and enjoying that warmer weather we're having here. We got the whole summer ahead, so I'm feeling good.
So, the other thing is, so no new classes coming up, no new things happening. Anything you want to share before we jump into the astrology?
Well, so the classes I hold, they start up in the fall.
Okay.
So there were some classes in the last fall that I was teaching locally and online, and the next round of classes will begin this fall. So we'll talk about that when that comes up. But other than that, no big news.
So I'm going to invite you to, and I'm assuming you haven't been there for a while, unless you saw the enormous amount of social media I've been doing on it and out of curiosity click through, you have to check out the new look and the new branding and the new logo and the new of KevinRossEmery.com.
Mm.
Since we last met, my new stuff has launched. Have you had a chance to check out the website?
I saw something brief about it. I haven't had the chance to check it fully out, but that's really exciting and very cool.
Yep. Of course, I did the astrology chart for the new Kevin Ross Emery. Ended up getting like six planets all up in the ninth and the tenth, conjuncting each other in Taurus for the actual day launch, and said, "Yeah, that sounds like good energy for where I'd like to see my business go."
Yeah.
Some lovely little tweaked positive energy in the second house. I'm like, "Yeah, we're good." And no. For those of you that are listening going, what does that mean? You mean my business is affected by astrology? Well, of course, you dumb shit. Of course it is. You know, there's you in the business, but the business itself has its own astrology chart. It has its own life. It has its own energy. It has its own moment of birth, even if it's a brief birth. But I know that I have, and I'm sure you have often worked with entrepreneurs or people launching a business to say, what is going to set the best tone for my business? And a lot of times people, you know, like I know I've done astrology for people's wedding dates and for, you know, all sorts of different, you can do event astrology. And, you know, is there anything you'd like to share about event astrology before we hop into the stuff?
Yeah. I mean, you know, astrology is about cycles, and everything has a birth date, so to speak. You know, everything has a moment in time in which it is launched or breathed, you know, for the first time. And so from that respect, and there's absolutely cycles that spring forth given that initial birth time. And you know, you even think of, you know, something simple like a business meeting that you set on a certain day that sets the timing and sequence for the days, oftentimes, that you meet again. But in astrology, it gets far more complex than that. And there's really, when you work with the natural cycles of life that astrology points towards, there can be optimizing and, you know, putting your best foot forward in life. And so that's the way I see it. And that's how I help clients in whatever endeavor they're working on.
You know, there are so many different ways to utilize astrology to help make decisions, to extend it beyond yourself, to even see the interrelationship. I don't know if you do this. I know that when I have an entrepreneur that's going to launch a business, not only do I look at what would be a great date for the business, but I look at, is it a great date for that entrepreneur? Does the entrepreneur's chart and the business chart actually get along?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, these are the kind of subtle things that people that go, astrology, you mean the thing that's in the newspaper that says, because I'm an Aries that blah. Yeah, no, that's actually not actually really astrology. It's just people stealing astrological words and making up statements to a great part. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. The newspaper form of astrology, you know, the horoscopes you see in the Sunday paper or whatever it is, that's very, the sun sign is just one component of the chart, and it's, you know, I think it may do more of a disservice to the study of astrology than it does a service, because that's, like you said, typically what people think of. You know, when they think of astrology, those little blurbs that may or may not fit, any one particular person, I think they're a real disservice to the study of astrology.
Yeah. And I think there was a time when it helped make astrology a household word, and that was a positive thing. It made it more acceptable among the masses, so to speak. But
yeah,
then there was
yeah.
a point where it started doing more damage than good. I would agree. So now we've had our philosophical conversation. But do know, next month I'm going to say, so Rob, did you get a chance to look at the website? So did you click on any of the videos? What did you think? Tell me whatever questions you have. So you have been forewarned that this month you get a pass, because I didn't have last one say, watch for this, Rob, because I'm going to want to know what you think. So you get one free pass, and then I turn that gas burner on high, and you know where you're going to end up sitting.
Yep.
And I invite all my listeners to please come out. And if you have the My Dr. Kevin link, it will take you to kevinrossemery.com, and you can find out why I've moved away from My Dr. Kevin, and I have moved into kevinrossemery.com, Inspirational Catalyst. So there's a mouthful for you. So onward and upward. What's going on astrologically?
Yeah. Let's see. So speaking of new beginnings, you know, we do have a new moon on June 18th. Technically, it's midnight on June 17th, so it's right at midnight between those 2 days. And, new moons indicate a time of new beginning. It's a great time to really tune in and set intentions for the month and 6 months ahead. Oftentimes, and athletes know this pretty well, is it's often helpful to visualize what you're trying to accomplish. And that can be done in a very elaborate way or in a not so elaborate way, but setting an intention is very similar to sort of a visualization of what it is you want to do or start or create or whatever that is. And so new moons are, astrologically speaking, phenomenal times for that. And we have this next new moon on June 18th, or the midnight of June 17th. And this new moon is at 26 degrees Gemini. And Gemini a healthy Gemini is about understanding, perceiving, listening, exchanging information, and speaking and communicating those types of things. So this is a great time for new beginnings in terms of taking in information, learning new information, speaking new information, But there is sort of a caveat with this new moon, and that the new moon is making a square to Neptune. And so some of the pitfalls to this square, this is what's considered a hard aspect to Neptune, is that this can be a time where there's a sort of rose-colored glasses with regards to information or communication and things like that. So this is sort of over the next 6 month period, this is a great time to really see through some of these old things that maybe there was some rose colored glasses that you were wearing, that we're all wearing in some way. Because of course, you know, life is much like that. You know, we're walking and navigating through life and making interpretations of the world around us. We project things into the world, of course. And a new moon in Gemini is saying, hey, you know, sit quietly, take in, learn, share, exchange, and be not surprised, of course, when, you know, that when we see things for the truth of the matter down the road. And I'm sure, you know, I've had many, many experiences of that. I'm sure, Dr. Kevin, you have as well. And each listener has had those experiences where it's like, oh, wow, you know, I'm seeing this in a different perspective than before. Those things are certainly being activated now with this new moon cycle. And let's see. Yeah, do you have any thoughts about that, Dr. Kevin, about this new moon that's squaring Neptune?
So we've brushed by this before, but I'm going to brush by it again because I feel like it's an important thing for people to keep in mind that, you know, I mean, always the power of Neptune is that when you see a clearer version of reality and you push past the delusion or the illusions that come with Neptune, that there are inherently rewards with that. That Neptune rewards you for getting that clarity. It's like when you get the clarity, you are able to go somewhere or take it somewhere or realize something that is far better or far greater or is far more impactful than the illusion would, even though the illusion was whatever it was. And so I like to point out that because Neptune is one of those planets where people often are like, well, whenever Neptune's involved, that's a bad deal. And I'm like, no, actually, it's a really good deal. It's just usually a painful deal because you have to have the pain of seeing the truth. The other thing is we kick around, and I know you and I have talked about it again, but I never know what listeners were on listening to that show and what new listeners are here that weren't here before. Rose-colored glasses, we have a tendency to move towards the fact of that we see it better. And they're not always rose-colored glasses that happen during this time. It can be crappy brown-colored glasses where we are always seeing the worst of things. I mean, like, it's about correcting illusions. Mm-hmm. And the typical, when anybody says rose-colored glasses, it's like, oh, you're being innocent, you're being naive, you're not seeing the reality, as if the reality is always going to be worse. And sometimes it is that the reality actually is maybe the person wasn't so bad, or maybe the situation wasn't so bad. Sometimes the reality is actually an upgrade. And so I like to keep that out there because people will miss that side of it. I mean, does that make sense, Rob?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A great point. And, you know, in the Course of Miracles, they speak about how, you know, the world we see isn't the world that God created or source created or whatever word works. It's the world we've created through our interpretations, our projections, our labeling, our this means that, this is that. And that's why, you know, people can enter the same room and be triggered by different things because they've had past experiences in different ways. And so we're interpreting and labeling and navigating this world through interpretations that we are making. And I love your analogy of the coffee colored glasses, because there's so many times, I know in my own life, where I would see monsters, so to speak, you know, metaphorically, and in reality, there was no monster at all. You know, and we, you know, the there's things that we, that stress us out, that stress me out. But when I question and look and really analyze that type of thing, or see it through a different, you know, without the analytical mind, but really seeing in a deeper way that there was nothing to be stressed about at all. And so, so yeah, great point about the color glasses. They don't have to be rose. They, maybe they're murky, but either way, there's something that we might be seeing and interpreting that isn't the full picture.
And with this new moon being in Gemini, I want to take this one step further, that during kind of this 6 month cycle of this Gemini moon to it becoming a full moon in Gemini, where it's going to come, is for this 6 months, things that come to your attention during that, I always look at it as a 3 day period of the new moon, is an invitation that you're likely to get new data, which you will not interpret correctly if you try to interpret with your old lens. And so to me, it's an invitation to step back and go, you know, maybe I need to try to see this in a completely different way. Maybe I need to let go of my preconceived notions or my perceptions, you know? And so I think with it being this new moon in Gemini, and where is Neptune?
Neptune's in Pisces.
And with Neptune in Pisces, which, well, there we go. And boy, doesn't it love being there. It's like, I'm home. Draw me a bath and hand me a glass of champagne. But that, especially with it being in Pisces, it could be talking about prejudices that you brought forward from past lives or from your past in this life. And that if you were to recognize them as that you have preconceived prejudices, that is the lens you're looking through, that this next 6 months is going to give you data that if you could put that down, it would be transformational for you in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And, you know, someone that I talk about a lot in my astrology practice is the approach of Byron Katie. And she has a wonderful approach that involves a worksheet. It's totally free online. It's called the Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet. And it's a practice of questioning your stressful thoughts or your judgments of others. And it's a wonderful practice to come to inner peace in the face of this type of thing. You know, it doesn't change the world around you, but it's a guidance and pathway to find inner peace. And that's what it's really all about, because of course there's things in this world that may or may not be changed as much as we knock our heads on the brick wall, you know. But anyways, I did want to bring up her practice because it's a great along the lines of what you're saying, and with this Gemini new moon with the Neptune aspect.
Well, and I think this is interesting because, you know, you're talking about your classes in the fall. And in the fall, I'm releasing a new communication mastery course. And the first module, which is the first 12 classes that people would take, they'll be the classes. They'll take two classes, and then I'll have a Zoom classroom to, you know, take questions and stuff once a week for it. On communication mastery, the whole first 12 classes is about clearing communication within yourself. It's like, you know, it's I call it the me versus me, and all of the competing voices we have in our head, sitting right there in our subconscious, from the ways which we were indoctrinated and our trauma, and, you know, like just so many different voices that give us conflicting messages floating up from our unconscious. And, you know, and astrology is, you know, is a whole set of voices its own that interplays with those. So,
yeah.
So it's an interesting time. So moving along.
Yeah. Well, moving along, that sounds like an awesome course. Let's see. So, okay. So on June 21st, the sun enters Cancer. And, you know, for the next month, beginning June 21st, the sun will be moving through the constellation of Cancer. And, you know, it's a time of bringing the light and putting the spotlight in our own lives related to our emotional body, you know, our feeling, our inner emotional life. You know, the feeling of nourishment. How are you being nourished? What do you do to bring nourishment and safety, emotional safety and belonging into your life? You know, the one of the symbols of Cancer and astrology is the crab. And, you know, there's an interesting point in the crab's journey where its shell becomes too restrictive and too tight. And it must, you know, forge a new shell. But during that period of time, of course, it's very vulnerable and sensitive. And, you know, its body becomes very soft as it's, what's it called when you are creating that new shell? But that's very similar to the energies of Cancer. It's this very sensitive energy. And so it does need protection. But the challenge with Cancer and over this next month is, you know, what's the minimal defenses and shell that you need for survival, you know? And by survival, that's an extreme word. But what I mean is that, you know, with too hard of a shell can really block us off from life. But too thin a shell feels too vulnerable. And so Cancer is about, you know, really finding that balance between protection and, you know, connection with that outer world so that you can feel your feelings and all these things. And as a Cancer son, Dr. Kevin, I'd like, curious in how you feel about that. What, you know, what are some other metaphors for that Cancer journey that you're on in your life with that Cancer son?
Well, you know, one of the things about Cancer is, you know, and so I'm going to start this with the underpinning of there's so much emphasis put on sun sign. And as you and I know, and we try to stress here on a regular basis, it is an important part, but it's not the only part that plays. And you know, as a Cancer that's a double Scorpio rising in moon, it's a whole different Cancer than if I was a Cancer with a double Aries, you know. But I think the cancer gets crabby when it doesn't feel safe. And I think that part of the journey of the Cancer is that it's a journey. It's a journey of finding that internal connection to source, to spirit, like all water signs with that depth, but in it to find the safety in being vulnerable. And you refer and love as I do, Brené Brown and all of her vulnerability work. And I think that Cancer is inherently feel like the hard shell protects them from the fact that they're so soft inside and that they are so sensitive and that they are very affected not only by their own emotions, but by other people's emotions. And that shell that they form as a protective shell, that if it's a protective shell of being empowered and connected with spirit, you are rocking all the best qualities of Cancer. If it is a shell that is made out of manipulation and using other people's emotions because you have such a an insight to them to get what you want, to feel safe, to be overly possessive. I mean, some of the negative places that cancers go is still all a bid to try to feel safe, to feel protected. And when a cancer is exposed, their vulnerability is exposed, that's that soft shell, that they've bolted the hard shell and they've fallen in love again, or they've tried a new career, or they've tried something and saying, here I go again. And now there's a certain amount of vulnerability that's involved with it. And am I the empowered cancer that has learned that I have killer intuitive instincts? I will know which roads to travel. I will know where not to walk because the bird will come down and swoop down and grab me and splat my ass all over a rock and eat me. You know, and that, but that the or, you know, versus what I call the crabby cancer. It's not cancer the crab, it's the crabby cancer who gets protected by literally keeping people away. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, in that, I would see the sun sign in a chart as part of the sole purpose of a person's journey in life. And so what's interesting is what I find is that the sun placement in your chart, it's not that you already are that, it's that there's something worth exploring in that area of life. And so, you know, in Cancer, in which you spoke to, you know, about that balance between the vulnerability and protection and navigating the emotional feeling, intuition, the feeling body, the emotional body, seems to be the guiding light. And, you know, over the next month, all of us are being asked, so to speak, to navigate and sense into that and, you know, have the courage to be vulnerable with your own emotions, our own emotions, and but to be to have the necessary protections in place so that we're not, you know, tuning into everyone's emotional life and vibrating to someone else's accordance, you know.
I have never met anybody with a lot of cancer energy that I haven't had to teach how to shield.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, over this next month, that's sort of part of something that we're all moving through in some way or another.
Okay. And I hear the sound of our first break, and we'll be right back with Rob Stewart from innercenterastrology.com. Here on the Dr.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time. So, we are here doing our once-a-month planetary influences with Rob Stewart at innercenterastrology.com. As always, we encourage you to whip out your astrology chart, and if you got one online and you really don't know what it says and it all kind of looks like gibberish, I highly recommend you reach out to Rob Stewart at innercenterastrology.com. You know, get him to actually cast you a chart and help you understand how this can be a very important and viable tool to give you more information with which to make better decisions in your life. And this is what planetary influences are. It tries to do once a month is to tell you what the astrological weather is and whether it is a good time or not. See the pun there? To make a decision, buy something, sell something, leave a job, whatever that, you know, astrology can give us when the weather is more in our favor, and when we may be working against the wind. So continue the progress. We have extolled the fact of what it means to be the best sun sign in the zodiac. Thank you very much. And we can move on to the next thing.
So Saturn goes retrograde on June 17th, and Saturn's moving through Pisces right now. And, you know, when a planet goes retrograde, it's a time of rethinking, reevaluating, reassessing the energies related to that planet and that sign. And so with Saturn, Saturn's really about, maturity in life. It's about real three-dimensional life, you know, when the sort of wheels hit the pavement, you know. It's just about reality. This, you know, it'd be nice if we were, well, maybe it'd be nice for some of you, but I think it'd be nice if we're just souls flying around, and if you parked your car too fast, it wouldn't be a problem. But of course we live in a three-dimensional world where there's physics and all that type of stuff. And Saturn really represents that. It represents the reality, the physical limitations in this world, responsibility, self-discipline, all those types of things. And so as Saturn goes retrograde, beginning on June 17th through November 5th, it's a time of sort of riding the sailboat, so to speak, and looking at reassessing where in life are you need to be more mature. And in Pisces, it's related to the transcendence of self. You know, the Pisces is largely about transcending this sort of the egoic daily reality that we live in, this, you know, the idea that I'm this person, this is my story, this is that, you know, this whole sort of story that we tell about ourselves. Pisces is about transcending that and seeing and merging with something far larger than self. And with Saturn retrograde in Pisces, it's a great time to really reassess and right the boat in areas where maybe you've been hanging on to that sense of self, that ego identity, in a way that isn't necessary or is being asked to be removed in some way. And, you know, a classic example would be, you know, say a family issue and a family situation where you're being asked to let go of your ego and really see the bigger picture and something far beyond self. But of course, in an empowering way. There's plenty of ways of doing what I just said in a very unhealthy way. But you know, what we're talking about here is doing things in a really empowered and mature and self-disciplined way, and really for all of us to grow up, in areas of our spiritual life, in areas of our transcendence of this sort of daily egoic reality that we're in. And I do want to say that there is, there's a really wonderful aspect to this retrograde Saturn, and that it makes a sextile to Jupiter as it's stationing retrograde. And that's really bringing opportunities and expansion in our lives when we're sort of aligning ourself and our story with a higher truth, with a higher reality, and a sort of, I guess, for lack of a better word, a more spiritual view, healthy spiritual view of reality. Do you have any thoughts about that, Dr. Kevin?
Well, you know, one of the funny things is it is the journey of understanding the role you as the soul plays and embracing concepts like divine love and divine compassion. And it is evolving into a place where you are taking and destroying the structure that does not serve you. And at the same time, you are reinforcing things that act as structure, but are not a limiting structure, but creates a structuring that allows you to step into the limitless.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. with that sextile in the stationary Saturn with Jupiter, it, you know, Jupiter, the great benefic, it says, if you can do this with no desire for worldly rewards, there will be great worldly rewards by doing it. But if you're only doing it for great worldly rewards, then you already flunked the test and they won't come. Or they'll be fleeting. Or they'll come at a price that in retrospect, you will decide we're not worth paying.
Right. Right. Well,
hey.
Yeah, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you know, it's a great point. You know, oftentimes we expect or wish for blessings in this, in the worldly domain. But of course, blessings can occur in many, many ways that go far beyond the material material realms. And so, so that's something, you know, if we only expect material blessings, we're going to be missing out in all the great expanse of other ways the blessings can reach you. And I think oftentimes in this world, because, you know, money, material, it's very focused on that. If we expect that's the way to be blessed, we're going to be really starved in other ways that we're being supported naturally when we just look, you know, to those other ways.
And I think that one of the limitations, and I don't want to expound on this too much and run out of time on you, because I don't know how many more aspects you have to cover in this, but one of this is we have this black and white mentality around abundance and wealth and stuff, that because there is a black and white, both are wrong, because everything's shades of gray. And so, you know, there is this whole idea that, you know, like a rich man can't get to heaven, or that somehow you pay with the price of your soul to be wealthy. Well, that's not true. But also that there is some great awareness to or there is some great higher value to being poor, and that's not true. And then we go really batshit crazy with the kind of idea that if they have money, then it must mean that they're better than we are, or know more than we are, or are traveling on some higher level. Well, God knows that ain't true. Like, we have all of these really delusional fantasies about the relationship between abundance and value and religion and spirituality. And you can throw them all in a trash bag and throw them away because they're all wrong.
They're beliefs about things, you know.
Well, they're also ways of sometimes leveling the playing field. If somebody sees a rich man and can think, you know, I've dealt with very wealthy people who are having miserable moments or miserable lives. Bad things happen to wealthy people just like bad things happen to poor people. And the whole thing is, well, it'd be better with money. Well, actually, no, there are things that are better with money. And there are actually sometimes things that are better without money because you don't know who the hell to trust. And you have more people trying to screw you over and lying to your face and taking advantage of you. And I mean, like, none of it is a picture perfect, clean, little, neat formula. But their desperate part of people who don't understand that abundance comes from within. And when you are abundant within, you will be abundant in your life. But abundant may not look to other people as abundant who are measuring it on a scale that you have outgrown as seeing relevant.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And there's so much talk about manifestation in life, and there's truth to that, of course, and very, you know, but I think it goes far beyond than the, you know, I want to manifest this car or whatever. You know, we're manifesting all the interpretations that we're seeing in the world in very subtle ways, of course. But the, I want to manifest less anxiety in my life, you know, less stress. And for me, that the path for that is really questioning those stressful thoughts rather than manifesting them. And Byron Katie's approach is an approach that I think is helpful there, because we often don't talk about the manifestation of stress that we do in our own lives. And really the focus has been, from what I've seen, is manifesting wealth or, you know, things of that nature. But anyways, that's another whole topic.
So let's go and keep going, because I don't want to run out of time on you.
Yeah. So Neptune also goes retrograde shortly after Saturn goes retrograde. Neptune will go retrograde on June 30th and will continue retrograde through December 6th. Neptune's in Pisces, as we mentioned before, and has been in Pisces since 2011. Neptune's a very slow-moving planet in the sky. And so when Neptune goes retrograde, it's really about getting more clarity in life. And this is something we talked about with this new moon squaring Neptune. But Neptune going retrograde is really asking us, so to speak, to really, you know, face reality in our lives. You know, what's getting more clear? What's less murky? What's being less cloudy? And just like you mentioned earlier, you know, those coffee shaded glasses, are they getting less murky? You know, are things that, like I mentioned earlier about the stress I create in my life, and I'm sure others create in their life, you know, questioning that and really getting more clarity with that. This is a great time for it over these next 6 months. It's also a time of great for rooting out addictions or different escapisms. You know, I'm sure many of us with devices, I know I'm just like anyone else, can get caught up in my device and computer. And, you know, it's the dopamines we get from from scrolling through the news or whatever it is really been shown to be similar to other addictive substances in life. And so this is a great time to, whether it's computers or other types of substances, a great time to kind of root those out and get more clarity and self-honesty in that. And it's also a great time for meditation, journaling, really tuning in to, you know, being still and quiet and listening to, you know, I like to say echoes from eternity, you know, those sort of messaging that we get from life itself, from source itself, and to be listening and to really right the ship in your spiritual life, to live the best life you can. Any thoughts on Neptune retrograde, Dr. Kevin?
Well, I think that it is a time that it's, and I'm going to go back, it's been one of my popular words a lot lately for a number of different reasons in clients and in classes and talks and social media posts, whatever, is indoctrination. And Neptune retrograde is going in and asking you to shake off the ways in which you were indoctrinated and to find within yourself your own relationship with God, with spirit, with your sense of higher self, with yourself as a spiritual being, that is both spiritual and physical. And that so much of what has limited you was not measuring up to somebody else's interpretation of what that needed to look like or feel like or how to display it or how to prove it. Even the fact, anytime that any spiritual teacher or religion or religious nutcase out there starts talking about how you have to prove your love or fealty to God, I know that they're full of shit. I'm like, you're a sideshow freak running a big circus tent. Get away from me. Yeah. God doesn't need you to prove a damn thing. You just want to take advantage of the fears of people so that you can grift off of them.
Right, right.
So this is a time to build that journey of that internal relationship. And it doesn't mean you have to do it alone. You can find the right mentor. You can find the right people that can help give you clarity about your relationship, personal, unique to you, with God, Goddess, Allah, Buddha, Spirit, whoever, and you as a spiritual being. But it doesn't have anything to do with which knee you bend or what sign you make or nope. So that's my take on
it. Yeah. No, right on. Right on. And just briefly, the last thing was a full moon in Capricorn, July 3rd. And this is a time for completion for, you know, what is it you're building in life? What are you walking the walk? You know, are you being that person in the world that you know you can be? Are you creating something tangible? Are you creating something sturdy? It's really a time to reflect on your harmonizing of your inner world and the outer world, you know, the outer world being what you're creating, what you're building, and that sort of thing. And is it, can it withstand the unavoidable herky jerkiness of the world? This full moon has a square to Venus and Mars have a square to Uranus. So it's asking us, you know, to focus on that stability in our life. What are you creating? Are you walking that walk? And do you have that sturdy foundation on you that you know you have and can build in life?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's all I got.
Well, it's almost like, okay, we're not quite done, but we're close to done. What small can of worms can I open that we can complete?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You know, it's kind of that, like, oh, okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, I know. Yeah.
You know, I do want to remind people that if you look back when we had a Capricorn new moon, that the things that were up then, the things that were things that you started then or you did things with then are coming into fruition for this full moon. So go back and see what was going on. Give yourself a little edge to maximize this full moon. Sound about right, Mr. Rob?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Kevin. Have a great month.
And next month, I want to spend a little bit of time, take a peek at my solar return, and we'll talk about a solar return and, you know, bring up a few things we can talk about. Obviously, we'll go over all the aspects, but let's show our listeners what you would get if they booked a solar return with you. At least a little taster. Does that work for you, Rob?
That works great. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, there we go. Hey. So we'll see you guys next month, and I'll see you next month, and I'll look forward to seeing what my astrology chart is going to do to me this year.